Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are here back at it again on a Tuesday night, 7 p.m., the official witching hour. We are live on all of our places. We are on YouTube. We are on Twitch. We are on Facebook. We have lost Kick. We've kicked Kick.
Oh, we got kicked by Kick?
I don't know. I think we kicked Kick. Ooh. You know, we kicked Kick. It's rehab. We went into an extensive Kick rehab.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. Kick is a website. I guess Alex found it. I feel like Alex got scammed and is finally just coming to terms with it. That's why he's not here. And of course, we're live on LinkedIn.
We should say happy Rosh Hashanah for those who celebrate. And Alex is, I guess, with his actual family tonight, which is weird. But I guess, you know, good for him.
Interesting. He does talk about a family that, honestly, are they real?
Exist. We'll never know. I mean, one sounds like a character from Inspector Gadget. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yes, I got you. Good. Very subtle clue. God, can you ever stop trivia? We have a very exciting show for you, but just to give you a little behind the scenes, what we were just talking about is playing A-Team, which Pete and I found out separately we used to do a lot when I was a kid. And Pete was always wanting to be Hannibal?
Hannibal, yeah, because he smoked cigars and came up with a plan. That was my favorite part.
That was, yes. You know, as an adult, I feel like you could really, you have a Hannibal vibe to you, actually, now that you say that. You have a Hannibal thing.
Yeah.
And
I started smoking early. I started smoking early, you know.
Wow, really cool. Cigars? You were like a 14-year-old who's light.
Yeah, Swisher Sweets. Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
That's, and may I speak for everyone, disgusting.
Well, it's when you start early. It's, you know, you go with the Swisher Sweets.
Everyone wanted to be Mr. T in my world, purely for the fashion. The cutoff jean jackets.
You were all about the jean jacket. I feel like the necklace was more of a moniker than the jean jacket.
I can't pull off that necklace game. But you know who can? Our first guest tonight.
Oh,
very
nice.
Excited to have him here. He is the host of the show. It came from the radio.
Yeah, please, radio show.
Welcome out to this rectangle, Mark Torres.
Hey, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hey. Hello.
I cannot now, rock the gold.
You can't handle
it. Oh, come on, man. He set you up for that.
Do you feel like those weren't... You think those are all gold chains in the set of A-Team?
Oh, yeah,
they, like,
yeah.
They came out of a lockbox?
Yeah, they were all real gold. And there was like an interview with him years later. And he's like, I stopped wearing all that gold because it was a bad image. But yeah, originally, that was all real.
Wow, that's crazy. Of course, the A-Team, basically a documentary. The fidelity to truth on that show has been untouched ever since.
Yeah.
But we're not here to talk about A-Team. I guess maybe we sort of are, because we are all in this world. We just talk. That's our whole thing. But Mark, people know about what we talk about. Tell us about It Came from the Radio.
Yeah.
And why you had Alex and not us on a recent episode.
What's up, Mark?
The real reason is that Alex is like, we don't drive. And I was like, come down to the radio station, because we are an actual radio show on a radio station. Having five people on the phone may not have been good for radio.
Yeah.
But I did, Justin and Pete, you guys are more than welcome to come down to the studio and be on the show. It Came from the Radio is a weekly syndicated radio show. We've been on the air since 2003. We had our very first show talking about the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie.
Ooh, nice.
Wow, what a staple.
What a
way
start.
To put your flag
in. Wait, let's get into it, man. How you feel about Foggy? Come on. future of the Marvel Universe right there, bro.
Yeah,
what's up?
He was learning. He was learning while he was taking notes.
Exactly.
I'm going to take over this place, and then he's going to get kicked to the curb because he doesn't know how to do magic. He was always thinking about the chair that Edward Norton got on, Terrence Howard got on, and then Jon Favreau. They were all on that chair over there, just sitting over there on the side because they got kicked off to the curb while Marvel was becoming Marvel it is.
Yeah, heartbreaker. I know all those guys wish that those were the things that took off for them and not the rest of their voluminous careers. So you're talking about the Daredevil movie back in the day. It feels like you're talking geek culture all the time as well.
Yeah, we talk about movies, comics, and entertainment. The actual inception of the radio show was that ever since I was a child, I always wanted to do my own comic book. One day I was listening to the radio and they were like, hey, do you want to have your own radio show to talk to experts in the field? And I was like, that's a great way to get my comic book made. So yes. Years later, the plan worked. I got my own comic book out, designated.
Oh, but hell yeah. That's awesome.
It took 30 years to get that done. So it was a very slow plan, but the plan worked. So that's why. But I enjoyed doing a radio show so much. I kept on doing it.
We're a podcast, so we do this live streamed, but you're a syndicated radio show, meaning how often, tell us what that means. How often do you tape, and then how often it gets played multiple times?
So over the years, it's changed, but currently, right now, this very second, we record live at the radio station on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of the month. That's on WGBB, which is Long Island's oldest radio station, on 95.5 FM, simulcast on 1240 AM WGBB. And then we record that half of the show, which is due to the news, or sometimes we have a guest like we had this past week. And then the rest of the show is a pre-recorded archive. So we have my co-host, Elman Jenny Feldy. She does interviews via Zoom. She puts up on her YouTube page. I take that. We have other segments. We have a father and a daughter segment called Jay Bird and Lee. Sometimes our senior correspondent goes to conventions. We take interviews. We slap that all together. I send it off to the Philippines to get my editor to put it together, and they send it back to me. And then I upload it to the other radio stations. So we're on 88.1 FM WARY in Westchester County, and we're on three online radio stations: BTD Radio on Thursdays, Sci-Fi.radio on Wednesdays, and Indie Vault on Fridays.
Wow,
that is awesome!
Cool.
So you guys, how long is the show then when it's all together?
It's an hour show. So sometimes we used, like I said, in the old days, we used to do just an hour straight at the radio station. Because pandemic and stuff happened and craziness, we only do it a half hour now.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
I want to dig into the geek stuff a little bit. So what got you into comics, and what are you liking that you're reading now?
Born and raised a comic book fan, my earliest memory of a TV show was watching The Incredible Hulk. So right from there on, I was like, I love comics. I love Marvel. I was a Marvel guy. I went to the spinner rack, got my couple of comics, and just started my collection. And as I've gone on and on and on, years since have gone by, I've really started focusing towards the independent stuff. Because as one thing we have found out over the years is that most major media companies do the major media comic books. So I tend to see independent stuff. So the Oswald Chronicles by J.D. Calderon is something that I take a look at. I'm going to say my own book is the greatest thing ever because it's my book.
That's good. That's how we do it.
Yeah, so it's just independent guys, and we also do movies and TV. So we have a lot of independent filmmakers, and the occasional we do have big-time guests. So if we have the opportunity, which we had interview with Mark Hamill, we had him on the show. We had William Shatner on the show.
Wow.
So I will not turn that down, but it's more about the independent filmmakers.
Shatner keeps calling. I think we have to put him on the air.
Oh, wow.
It's funny. The only one that I actually had to turn down. I love this. This is trivia for you guys out there. Came from radio trivia. Chris Carter from X-Files. So when he was making the second X-File movie, I believe it was, might have been the first.
Yeah.
I think it was the second X-File movie. I was in talk with his people, And because we were a live show, like, you have to call in to the radio station on that day to be a guest. Yeah. And we had set up something, and they're like, well, he's going to be on a plane at this time. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? He's like, well, can you be on this week instead? And I had already booked independent guys on that to come down to the studio. And I'm like, I got people coming to the studio. There's nothing I can do. And they were like, well, if you want. I said, nah, sorry, I can't do it. And then that movie flopped, so I felt good.
Yeah. Wow, you bounced the creator of X-Files.
Yeah.
To stick to your guns. I love it. That's the most Pete LePage move I've ever heard, basically, right there. That's awesome. That second X-Files movie was bad. Was that the one, Fight the Future?
That was the Fight the Future one, yes.
Yeah, wow.
Never seen it, though, so I don't know if it was good or bad.
Not good. Confusing. Didn't quite make sense. More of a TV show, X-Files. Well, tell us about some of your favorite interviews over the years. I mean, you've been doing this, we never say this,
years.
Longer than we have.
23
years. Years. Longer than us.
Yeah. My favorite interview, so it was actually kind of sad. My favorite interview never aired. So I went to San Diego Comic-Con in 2008, and I got to interview William Catt and Robert Culp, because they were bringing back the Greatest American
Greatest
Hero.
American Hero.
Yeah,
we
talked to them during that time, yeah.
I was a huge fan of that show when I was a kid.
Yeah. Right?
I was like big in my family. And when we talked to them, it was very exciting. I have a signed poster somewhere when they rebooted it for a comic.
Did you know that they made like the spinoff? I did not know that until recently.
Yes,
that blew my mind.
It aired in a strange place, in like at a strange network, I think. Or maybe it was Sci-Fi. Maybe it was even Sci-Fi. I don't know. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh yeah. So interviewing Robert Culp. I was like, this is the greatest interview. And back then, I don't have it. This was, 2008. I didn't have a digital recorder. I only had a cassette recorder.
Oh, no. So this stresses me out.
And then I wasn't able to transfer it to digital, so I never got to air it. So it was like, just got lost. My tape got lost somewhere, and it never aired. So that was it was an amazing, like, his professionalism, his kindness, his giving for the interview blew my mind. Like, he didn't know who the hell I was, but he treated me like I was the most important guy in the room, which was amazing. And his introspective about how the industry was changing back then was a great insight, because 2008 was just when the reality stuff was starting to kick in. And he was saying how back in his day, you had to pay your dues. You had to do theater. You had to do this. You had to do that to work your way up. He's like, now anybody can just do it, and they have no real training. They have no formal training, so you're missing something. It's an amazing interview, and I regret that it never got to see light of day.
Wow, that is tragic. Maybe you'll find the tape. Maybe it's just lurking in the
box. It's in storage somewhere.
that's a heartbreak. And honestly, like, thinking about how the industry has changed since that interview is probably maybe a really dark place that we don't want to go down.
Now, one of the things, since, we have similar kind of jobs talking with people, what is your favorite thing about an interview or kind of like getting to chat with somebody in the industry?
So my favorite thing is their passion.
Yeah.
Because that's something that you really don't understand. So you actually talk to them and sit down with them and have like a real conversation. One of the things we do on our show, which may or may be to our detriment, is that we really don't do like pre-planning or pre-interviews. I just talk to them. They seem interesting enough, and have them come and just have a conversation. Over the years, I've noticed that our show, like, match other shows. So originally, when we started out, I felt like our show was more like The View, because it was four of us on the show and we had different persons had the different opinions.
Yeah.
And then it kind of merged a little bit with Craig Ferguson. And I realized that when he was doing his show, he was just talking to people. I'm like, that's what I want to do. I just want to talk to people. And it gives them the opportunity to really show their passion and creativity. As I say, we talk to a lot of independent guys, and sometimes what's really interesting is that their product may not be the best, but their passion for it is. So while they might have this really crappy movie, their passion to making that movie, it blows my mind. And there's always a chance that they can get better, which throughout the years we have seen people get better.
Oh,
yeah.
We actually had Fred Van Lente. Show when he first was starting, and he did the Silencers comic book. He was like, "Yeah, I'm hanging out. I'm living on my friend's couch. We're doing comics." And now look at him; like he's gone far and beyond.
Yeah. Was he on our show last week? We just talked to 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
That talk about a blur. It's so like doing not to be a couple of a group of old dogs here, but like the ability to just talk to people over the course of their career as they go from being like kids. I mean, in that Fred Vinlenti interview, we had Steve Orlando doubling up there in the interview, and Steve was like, "I used to come see your show coming down when I would be like taking my very first meetings with like comic people and learning how I was doing it. I was living in Albany, taking the train down to take a meeting and see Comic Book Club and go back, and he would work a day job and write at night. Super inspiring. And now he's crushing it."
Yeah,
he is. He's a hell of a writer.
Yeah. Really cool. And talking about like interviewing people who, and Craig Ferguson in general, for those, I don't know if his late night spot has sort of faded out, but everyone else had like big writing staffs, very planned shows. He had tiny writing staff and he would just sort of wing it. He would improvise his monologue a lot. And Craig Ferguson, not known as an improviser, but he would go up there and just sometimes it would be an absolute car crash and he would be like, "Well, on with the show." But other times he would find something that just had the spark and was so alive. And I feel like maybe that's what you're talking about with like going into these interviews with people who are like, "Yeah, man, their movie's not good." But we got talking about like this one panel from a comic from the 70s that lit us both up. And like that's the magic.
Yeah, I can only say the only two people I ever had to write questions for was William Shatner, because his people were like, "You get this much time." He has to pre-approve the questions, and it actually hurt the interview because I asked him some questions, and him being the master of ceremonies he is, he'll go off on a tangent and say something really interesting that I wasn't able to pivot and ask him about. So I was like, I want to ask him about it, but I don't want him to get mad at me and hang up the phone. And we only had a certain amount of time, so that one. And then we had an independent author called Lexi Haas. She wrote her book along with her mom. She had a disease that she was born with, jaundice. She had jaundice. So she's able to only talk on like a board that she has to look at, and her mom actually helps her with it. So her mom helped her write the book. And so the only way to get a question from her was to give it ahead of time, so that way she could write out the answer, and then her mom read it. So... And when I told her that, she's like, "Oh my God, I'm in the same league with William Shatner." She was excited.
Yeah, of course.
That was really a few times that I do that. Otherwise, it's always just off the cuff, see how it goes.
Cool.
And so you also work with Big Apple Comic Con, is that
so
right?
So we are the official radio show of the Big Apple Con. It was actually a side quest from being the official show of the New York Comic Con, because we were around when New York Comic Con was starting, and we actually had a relationship with Lance Fensterman, who used to be in charge.
We know Lance.
And then he went off to do Fanatics, which was a genius idea to do sports New York Comic Con. I mean, like, what a great idea.
Quick sidebar on that. I produced one of the stages at Fanatics Fest this past year.
Oh, okay.
And Lance was running it. And he was having this, they were planning the final ceremony, which was absolutely insane what they were doing. They had Tom Brady on the stage. They had a car that they drove from one end of the con to the other. And all these people, they had a marching band, and they were just putting it together last minute. And I was like, "Lance, this is wild." He goes, "Justin, how are you?" I was like, "How the fuck do you remember me? What the number of things going through your brain?" And you remember, we used to just bullshit with him and do wrap-ups every night of the con. And he's just, he's one of those guys that like, he's just clicked. He's just turned in.
Is the epitome of professionalism. Yeah. And whatever he says he'll do, he'll do.
Yeah.
Because way back when we were talking, you know, we used to talk all the time. I used to see him at New York Comic Con every year. And he always used to say, "Mark." I was like, "How do you know me? Like, you're in charge of New York Comic Con. I'm just some guy." He's like, I just, "You're really, I remember you from the beginning. You were there to help us out when we started. So I'm going to make sure we're always there for you." And even when he left, he passed me on to the vice president. So, you know, we have a still connection with New York Comic Con. But as they were starting and growing, an idea came to my head. It's like, hey, we can be the official radio show of New York Comic Con. And he was like, that's a really cool idea. Let me run it by the Reed Pop to see what they say.
Yeah.
And they're like, the problem is, if we have our own specific radio show, it's going to be everybody else is going to get mad. And they're going to be like, hey, what about us? You know, NBC, whatever. And so he's like, so we can't do it. And if you notice, they do not have one. So it wasn't like he was just saying, oh, you know, just putting me aside. He was legit, and they've never had one since. So then it thought to me, hey, I've been going to Big Apple Con because that's New York's oldest running convention.
Yeah.
Mike Carbonaro. And I was like, hey, Mike, can we be the official? He's like, sure. And so then we became the official radio show at the Big Apple Con.
So what do you do during the con? Are you
so
there live?
Sometimes we have a table. Sometimes we do like live stream interviews. And most of the time we just cover it just like anything else. We get to use their name and we get to promote it as much as possible. So every time I mention the show, mention the next convention, which will be November the 22nd. Tickets are on sale right now. www.bigapplecc.com. That's our relationship.
That's all awesome. Right. Great. So where can we have people check you out? The locals can just tune in.
Yes. The easiest way is www.itcamefromradio.com. The little button on there takes you everywhere you need to go. We have a YouTube page. We're on 45 additional podcast places. So if you have a podcast that you listen to, look us up.
45?
Yeah. So if I always
Kick?
Like to say,
you guys on Kick?
No, we have definitely not on Kick.
Oh, see, this is a scam. Alex got scammed. He must have given him our collective social security number because we share one.
iHeart, Spotify, the big ones, the small ones, except for Kick. I always say if you have a podcast place, let me know and we'll get us on there if we're not on there. But I can't say anything for Kick. Kick may have also kicked me out as well.
Yeah, great. The official podcast of Kick. That was our title. Well, awesome. Mark, thank you for being here.
Yeah, man. Congrats. Keep up the great work.
Now that you've gotten the invite past Alex Zalbin, the goalie that stops us from doing fun stuff, we will definitely Pete and I will road trip out and get on. We'll get on that radio show.
That would be awesome. Can I mention one last thing?
Yes, please. Sure.
So every month at the East Middle Public Library, we do a live show. Courtesy of the East Middle Public Library, and we're going to have our 97th live show with comic book creator George Medina. That's www.eastmetal.info. It's always the second Wednesday of every month. You come down there, it's a live in studio thing. It gets recorded and gets uploaded. We'll be giving away tickets. He'll be giving away raffling off one of his books to entice people to show up, as well as we are giving away passes to the Big Apple Con and to the Extravacon, which is a convention in Long Island.
Wow.
Cool.
That's awesome. Well, good luck with all that, Mark. Thanks for being here. Come back anytime. We'll
talk more
the original Daredevil. That's what everyone wants to hear.
Yeah, exactly.
Later, man.
Take care.
That's Mark Torres. You can check out It Came From the Radio at itcamefromtheradio.com.
Yeah.
Or please, all you Long Island folks, drive time. Get that.
Yeah, listen to that live on the radio.
On the ones and twos. Pete, you listen to the radio?
Yeah, sometimes.
What are you putting on?
I like to scan around, see what the local flair is.
You really? You jump around to different stations?
Oh, I love a scan. I love a scan.
We got Stray Bull asking, what's a shirt? It is my man from Adventure Time.
Yeah, that's one of your staples. That's in the rotation.
Yeah,
I've seen that a lot over the years.
Yes, I have some t-shirts that I still fit into. No questions needed at this time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's move on with our next guest. Very excited to have him here. Returning to the show, he is the writer of the Terminator Medal, amongst other things. Please welcome out Mr. Declan Shalvey.
Hey, welcome to the show. Great to have you back.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back. So my backstory, unlike Mark, I always wanted to be a radio show host. And
Nice. Job switch, guys.
That's how you do it. Thanks for having me back, guys.
It's always great to talk to you. So Terminator Metal. The Terminators have always been metal in every way, but now are they extra metal?
Yeah, they're more metal. Yeah,
more metal, more like
metal bands. They're also metal.
It's like, how can you have a new series and give it a new name? I know, metal. Just metal. Just respond the dial. Yeah, that'll do it. The first series was always going to be 10 issues, but it seemed to have done really well for Dynamite. So there was talk of extending it, but I kind of had it planned as it kind of had to wrap up at 10. So, suggested doing a new series and bringing on Rory McConville, who I did another time travel book with a robot in it. So, audition done. So we're doing this new book, but it's kind of more... The previous one was kind of more about like adventures through time. This one's kind of more set in the future war period, but still kind of hopping around. Like, I think we just solicited yesterday that issue 3 is a cowboy Terminator, because awesome. Why not?
Let's have some fun.
I remember reading the first series. Like, I loved moving through different eras. It was so such a fresh way into it, and I think it really like opened up for me anyway. It opened up the mythology to like a whole new. It's a little bit like how Alien Earth is doing for the Alien franchise right now, where people are like, and there's some people who are pushing against that, but it really is extending it out to like, oh, I didn't even know this was possible. And it feels like that's what you're doing again with Metal, is pushing it sort of further into the future realm, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit behind on Alien Earth because I've been traveling, but I was writing Alien when that was announced. I'm like, son of a bitch, Noah Hawley's going to do Alien? God, what am I going to do? But, that was good practice for, like, how do you take a franchise where, it's been going on so long, let's just say... It hasn't all been good, you boil down like what makes this franchise appealing. And I would say in both in general, my case is like, I don't care about the future and the continuity and the, just because it was done so much, I love Terminator 2 and, even like Salvation, but I didn't really go past it just because, I think, especially with time travel stuff, you can just get too into the weeds of like, well, when did this happen? And if you change that, then maybe this will go. And then it doesn't feel like there's any real stories being told because it's just all about the plot mechanics.
It's too technical. Really want... Especially for like the original property was like, this guy's fucking scary and he's just there to kill you. Like, there was none of that, really.
Yeah, well, I saw Terminator 2 when I was a kid. So that was kind of my first one. And then I saw the first one. I'm like, lame.
Because
it's not as actiony, But then, I got a bit older. I watched. I'm like, well, this is actually, like, the core idea of this is so compelling that, like, I totally see why it went off this way for Terminator 2 and onwards. But, like, if you just forget about that for a second, like, the core idea of there's death is coming, it's in the form of this giant man and like there's nothing you can do to stop it. It was way more of a kind of a B movie, like the effects were fairly limited. It was you know, it was a lot more restrained and street level and kind of just scary. And it wasn't so much about like the mechanics of time travel. So I decided to kind of go that way, you know, yeah, not get so built into the lore and stuff. And I know a lot of people were like, oh, what's happening with this and that? But like, that's been done. It's been done loads of times. I didn't see a reason to do it. And I think I was joking at the time that I was kind of doing Terminator by way of Quantum Leap.
Right.
You know, put the things wrong that once went right.
Yeah.
But I just thought there was more room with the core concept rather than getting into the weeds and everything else. And I thought we did some really fun stuff, like the, you know, doing the one in the submarine, and you know, the one with the Terminator 600s and stuff like that. Like, it was just more fun. It was tough because everyone was pretty much done in one, so you needed like a new idea every single month.
Yes. And
that was really, really hard, I have to say, but very rewarding to just hop around different places, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, well, that's exciting.
I could say it was we did so many, it was voluminous. I just used that in the previous interview. I'm like, voluminous, huh? I'm going to write that one down. I don't think I'm using it the right way. But
no, I think it's pretty close. I mean, you can say whatever you want now. No one's really caring.
Yeah, when in Rome, you know, you can just use phrases that I like.
Just like when in Rome. I feel like you can just slide that in anywhere. So then now you're keeping that model, like you said, a little bit. But are you building a larger story in the future then?
No. Right. There was always something I felt really bad about when we were doing the first series. Like, are we going to see Sarah Connor? I'm like, nope. Are we going to see Terminator 1000? Nope. It's just going to be Terminator 800, pretty much. Like, I felt like a real jerk because everybody just wants to know, are you going to do this? But like, the whole point was to not do it. You know, and you don't want to seem like a dick when people are just answering, you know, the obvious questions anybody would ask, but I just had to be like, it felt like it was just pouring, you know, cold water on everybody. But if you read that series, it did actually have an overall story.
Yeah.
With this one, I think we're trying to have a wider scope. So like, me and Rory are basically trying to do lots of different types of, I would say, I don't want to say human interest, but like human survival type stories. So the machine is the same as the previous series in that every issue is a different story. But I would say they're more focused on the human, you know, survival in the future. And as a result, I think a 10-issue series where I had a very clear idea of what I was doing was a good way. Like, if you read the whole series, you can see it's all interconnected. I wanted to kind of be a bit more freewheeling with this one, where we can just, you know, one issue has nothing to do with the other. We can be, and I didn't want to limit the scope since we're kind of opening it up, but I would like to maybe tie it back to other stories, maybe from, you know, issue one or the previous series, if we have that room. But I think the tough thing with a new series is you kind of have to have the proof of concept before you take chances, you know. Like, issue 6 of the previous series was about the T-600, which is like mentioned in the first Terminator movie.
Right.
I'm like, that's a cool story, but it can't be the first issue. It can't really be the second one. You know, I feel like with the, you know, you need to kind of, with the reader, you need to kind of prove what you're doing before you kind of take those wilder kind of stabs.
Point, you got to set the expectations of we're doing this, we're committing to this. You're not gonna get that. Like, I feel like the easy answer that most people do are like, actually, I know it seems like done in one, but if you look very closely, you can thread through a couple very specific things. So I appreciate you just being like, no, this is, let's have some fun here.
Yeah,
let's not have to sweat so much in the middle of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with time travel stuff. People want it, you know, they want it all to be interconnected. And my plan was for the first one was to be interconnected, but you're not going to notice it till issue 7, you know. And it's hard because I'm sure you guys know so many books pop up and they're gone by issue 5.
You know,
it can be really wild issues, and like, building plans can be very hard when you don't know if the book's going to survive past, issue 5. Mm-hmm. But I knew I had 10 issues, so I was able to kind of plan for that. I don't really know where I have no idea how this book's going to do. So I think as a, I always feel really bad when I have like very practical answers for stuff.
I think it's good to say what it is.
It'll be sales, you know.
That's good that people get the assignment. They're like, I should read this.
Yeah,
book.
I think people.
He said I need.
I think a lot of people want like they want to know you've got all this stuff figured out in this massive universe, and I'm like, well, if it sells past issue 5, then oh yeah, then it's going to be whatever. But for the moment, I think yeah, with this series, just kind of go buck wild for the first 5 issues, and if the book has legs, then that offers more opportunity. It was the same with me and Rory did Time Before Time because you know that was creator owned. You had no IP kind of backbone to help sell a book, so we wrote it for like. This might have to end at 5, but hopefully we can go longer. And we did. We got to like issue 29, which was,
and honestly,
which was great.
You just said like, we're going to go buck wild and then we'll go beyond it. I was like, what's beyond buck wild? But that book, you did that. You hit that in Time After Time.
Yeah, I think the fun stuff with writing with Rory is we just bounce a lot of ideas off each other. And I kind of needed that with the new book because I'd really, you know, 10 new ideas or 9, I guess, because one was a two-parter. Brand new ideas, establish, tell a story, wrap it up. You know, that was a lot. So I kind of did need some help because, you know, I'm writing other stuff too. So having, you know, Rory has his background in like 2000 AD Future Shocks. So he was a good, you know, basically, I mean, the comic is kind of Terminator Future Shocks, but I say for legal reasons, we probably couldn't, we couldn't do that title.
No lawyers watch this. They're all on kick.
No, good. Yeah, it's very not. This is not a litigious podcast, I understand.
No, never. We have a couple small lawsuits, but that's...
It is voluminous, though.
But yes, so, look at, see, circle.
Just wrote it down here, so don't forget.
We do we do have a really important question that's boiling in the comments here. Is that Skynet behind you? The light pattern on the wall is freaking out the comments.
Oh, I'm sorry. This room is so boring. I just needed something that was like, it's like a gamer panel or something. I don't know. It's just nice light for what I'm
reading. I saw those lights before. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no. It does. It is. I thought it was the sun coming through, but then you're
me
not
too, at first,
in a sunny
place. Oh, no, sorry. That's my cabinet of Star Trek starships, and I just have a light next to it, so it looks pretty.
Wow.
Pretty cool, yeah. I'm a very cool person.
Way to flex on the cabinet of starships.
Yeah.
Which is what cool people say all the time. I'm a very cool person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to come see my cabinet of starships?
Ladies.
Yes, please. Ladies. But speaking of really cool, we have a chef down in New Orleans. He works at a place called Shift. And each week, his name is Stray Bullet. His real name is something else, Brett Macris. He makes a cocktail. He curates one for the show. And what we have tonight is for you, Declan. It's Skynet Can't Even Drink This. A cocktail that is really pushing the human side of things. And it looks like a spicy one. It's got bourbon, mezcal, honey syrup, lemon juice, orange bitters, and an orange slice.
Nice. Delicious.
Yeah, okay. I'm not a big cocktail guy, but I am a big alcohol guy, so
Interesting. You just can't have it be all mixed
up. No, seems good. No, I like it. I like the orange beer. That seems like a nice little sweet bit to it. I have a bit of a sweet tooth, so I'd have this. Is he going to bring it to me, or do I have to make it?
We've never actually had that question. I bet he'll bring it to you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see.
Yeah. Where you go to his bar in New Orleans, it'll give it to you.
Oh crap! I was just in New Orleans like a month or so ago. I could have gone.
Oh no.
Maybe you had it. Maybe you were there drinking with him and he didn't even realize it. But let's while we have you, can we talk a little Thundercats?
Yeah.
We can. If we can just say one thing, Lorenzo Rey is drawing the first issue of Terminator Metal, and Owen Marin is drawing issue 2, and Colin Krieger is doing issue 3. I just want to
mention
Rory's writing it, but we're doing the same thing where it's a different artist every issue for that kind of anthology feel. But I just want to say that for Rory.
Yeah, no, please. And honestly, I think that's such a great echo of the premise to have it be like a truly a different feel with each issue. That's awesome.
No, I mean, I thought of it originally, and then we weren't going to do it, and then the schedule was a problem. So, yeah, then all of a sudden, that creative choice.
Remember my first idea, gang.
Yeah. I was like, remember that idea I had to, now we have to do? Let's do that. Yes.
That's the best. When that's, I think it's called backing into genius is what I call it.
Yeah, I think it's it's doubling down into necessity. But you know, sometimes those things, they like, necessity is the mother of all invention, as they say. And I do really like that every story had a different artist. That means it puts you in a different place every time. It was really fun actually working with so many good new guys as well. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's tough to, as a new artist, to get your stuff out there. And like, it was really fun to just work with new, you know, cool people all of a sudden. But anyway, I'm blabbing, sorry.
Now that you mentioned that, so then how are you connecting with new artists for something like that? Is someone like saying like, hey, check out these people? Or are you looking around? Do you have a list? Like, how does that work?
Tinder.
Please swipe.
One place not to find a comic book artist. Well, let me see. It's generally me keeping my eye out for people. Luke Sparrow was somebody whose work I really liked, and I didn't see anybody using him. And I just get so frustrated when I see really talented people just hanging on the vine and not being used. So he did a short story. I did an Old Dog anthology last year, and he did a story for me, and it was great. So I wanted him for Terminator. But then, like, it's a monthly book, and you know, it was coming out soon, so we needed, basically it wouldn't make sense for him to, he wouldn't be able to do all the issues. So then Dave O'Sullivan is an old friend of mine from Ireland. I knew he was really good. He did what's the last book he did with Jerry Duggan? Paladin of Axes and Analog. Oh. So I knew he could do it. And then Joe Mulvey was a guy who, I think he just did a Thundercats issue for us. And I knew he could do a good job with it. And then Lorenzo Ray, who's doing the new book, I met him actually at a show in Italy.
Cool.
I was talking to a friend and he just came up to me and I started talking to him, followed him on Instagram, and I could tell he had some promise. But then 2 years later, I was looking for that submarine issue. I thought he would do. So I must say thanks to Nate Cosby, the editor on the book, because he's let me of find people who I like. And same with Owen Marin, who's just finishing issue two now. Who else do we have on? I think we repeated them. Oh, Colin Craker is another Irish guy. Just guys who I've been keeping my eye on who could do with a shot. Give them a shot. After that, what you can't really do anything beyond that, but I'm always fairly invested in like finding new people, you know.
It's really cool. I mean, you say it excites you, but imagine being the person who gets that message from you and is like, hey,
imagine working with Declan Shalvey.
Yeah, that's not a joke, man. That's real. And that's really cool. And you mentioned Nate. You mentioned Nate. We hear his name come up so much as someone that is like such a connector that everyone loves working with. Now, not that we need to blow him up anymore on here, but is he just like, is it the positivity of him? Is it that he is such a connector to different people?
I mean, I'd say he's probably smart enough to know to play to my ego. you know, if he tells me I'm great, then he doesn't really do that much, really. Like, actually, now and then he'll kind of. Just recently, he gave me sent me an email about a Thundercats script, and just said some nice things about it, which is kind of nice because you forget that, like, you write the script and then you hand it to somebody and somebody reads it, you know, before it's drawn. But I would say I would especially applaud Nate for, like, he's really invested in like what can be done, you know. Like, I would say I was probably fairly conservative in my approach to Thundercats because I was like, well, it's an old franchise and, you know, it's got a fandom. You don't want to upset people. And he was like, you can just do this. You can do that. You can do this. I was like, oh, okay. And the licensors were great for it too. But you would think the editor will be holding you back. But in fact, he's actually very good for pushing me. And he was a big help with figuring out what we would do with Terminator as well. I think his real strength is working out ideas. I think that's where his passion is too, is working out the ideas. Awesome. And I also think he's, and I don't know this, this is my suspicion, is that he's very good at like finding artists who can write and draw. Mm. Or artists who can write. I see him doing with Paulina. on like the Thundercats Powerpuff Girls book, and right. I see he's doing it now with oh, what's his name? He was doing Lion-O, sorry, not Lion-O, the Lion King. what's his name? I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Like he'll find, I don't know if it's because he's trying to like just get good artists on covers and says I let you write too, but you know, I think he did it with Sweeney Boo as well. You know, he's done it with me on Thundercats. I think he's got a good eye for finding like, you know, unused talent. He's smart enough to ask big writers and stuff like that too. But I think he's good to find like people who they're capable of much more, and giving them a platform to kind of like, you know, hone their skills. And I mean, and he's definitely done that with Thundercats anyway. I mean, I don't know if it's any good, but he's given me a few issues at this stage.
Well, let's talk about Thundercats. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Thundercats. Watched it growing up. It doesn't hold up going back watching it now. Those episodes don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, doesn't make a lot of sense. Insult.
I'm saying dare that you. As a fan. But
it doesn't make sense. The sword, it gets longer. That's exciting every time.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. I know what you mean. I was you know, rewatching some of the episodes. I was like, oh, man, this is not what I remember.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, for what it was at the time, you really remember is the opening theme music. Just that sequence was incredible. It burnt my brain. No, just exploded my brain.
I've never seen a badass mummy. Like, that was never.
Yeah, it was
thing.
Impressive
and, like,
they pulled
to
that
have
off.
A really Mom-rar. Cool mummy.
But, you know.
Scream.
I'd like to hear your take on, you know, what you're bringing to Thundercats. Hopefully you're going to use Panther a lot because he was such an underused, amazing character from the show. So just a little Panther love I'm throwing in there on my question.
Well, Panther's dead. No.
Oh! Yes.
Why?
No, just kidding. No, Panther. I mean, the tough thing is, like, you're trying to... I think the benefit of me doing Thundercats was I was young enough to remember loving it,
yeah.
But I was too young to really remember it. So you're in that really sweet spot of like remembering loving the characters, but not getting, say, maybe tied down into specifics. And I think I was worried at first because people just thought we were just like telling the story of the cartoon or something. Mm-hmm. So we did try, especially with Drew's designs, Drew Moss, who draws the book, to... You know, I think the designs kind of signaled what we were doing, which is very reminiscent of the original cartoon, but with a little, you know, a little twist. So, and I think my approach was it's more character based than lore. But kind of same with the Terminator. I didn't really want to get too into the like, you know, lore of it, but like now we kind of have to because we're like 20 issues in. You know, I kind of put that stuff to the side. Originally, it was just going to be 12 issues. I think I asked for it to be 15 so we could kind of maybe do like a trilogy and then the book's over and I got to do a fun story. But then the sales came in on issue one and it just, it's like, it's ongoing now. I'm like,
whoops. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm too successful at this.
But look, it's not me. It's like, you know, I think I didn't appreciate that. There's very, intense fan base for the book, but also I had forgotten there hadn't been a Thundercats thing in a while. You know, I know there was that kind of more animated-y cartoon that everyone seems to hate. I haven't watched it, so I don't have an opinion. But I think people wanted the characters that they remembered, and we gave them that in the comics, and I didn't really realize that would be a thing, you know. And I also think there's probably a readership of like hardcore comic readers that have kind of fallen off the Marvel DC train and are looking for a thing there. Look, probably why Turtles done so well and a lot of the kind of 80s. It's like, I remember that and I like reading comics and I could just get on board with that. So I think that's probably why it's done well. Anyway, that's a question you did not ask.
but actually, I think that wraps up nicely with like what we're talking about, like the over-continuitification of so much of comics. And, like, people do want to break from that because of the, like, the sweatiness of it. Like, I can't remember all this, and I just read the last issue. I should remember this. And to have something that is, like, a clean story, I think, is super attractive now, especially something that you already like Thundercats.
Yeah.
I guess we're also seeing it with all the Absolute stuff and the Ultimate stuff. Yeah. It's probably why it's that's doing so well, you know. And even when I was working on Mystique, the problem with that was I didn't want to get into, like, all of the stories and all of the complicated backstory and stuff. I'm like, let's just...
And that's something we loved about that book. It felt like this really nice story that didn't get caught up in that, and that suited the type of story you were telling. Like, it was such a fun departure at a time when it was sort of like a murky continuity anyway that felt confusing to be in.
Well, I've kind of looked out in the last couple of years where, like, Thundercats, Terminator, Mystique, it's like, hey, here's a thing, or Alien as well, the year before that. I was like, here's a thing. What's your take? Which is great, because it used to just be like, hey, do you want to draw this thing? This big writer likes you, so, you know, jump on that while you can. So it's a great place to be in, but of course the pressure comes with, like, well, then what are you going to do with it? So I think my thing with Thundercats was reintroduce it to a new audience while also, like, letting the older audience find its way back in, because I was very aware there's kids who are like, I think I was talking to some artist, this great artist, and I was asking if she wanted to do a variant cover, and I was like, do you know what a Thundercat is? And she was like, no. I was like, of course not. 20-something, you know? What was it? It's like in The Simpsons. What's a Muppet? It's like, oh, it's not quite a puppet, and it's not quite a... But oh, boy.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, but I think that was in. It was character first. There's so much cool stuff with Thundercats. Like, there's kind of a Shazam thing with Lino because he was a kid, yeah, and now he's a grown-up. And then, you know, we got to create new characters, and all of a sudden that was the thing. So, it blew up in a way I was never expecting. All of us, I'd say the biggest selling book I've done now is Thundercats, something I wrote that I didn't draw, you know?
Yeah.
So it's weird. Like, but yeah, I think my way in was like, do you know what it is? I'm basically channeling 90s X-Men. Soap opera, yeah, fights, you know, larger storyline. Like, that's where I feel like I'm channeling the X-Men comics I read as a kid. Because, you know, it was like, who likes who, and, you know, why do they not get on and stuff like that, especially with a team book like that. So, yeah, I mean, I wanted Panthro to have the spotlight straight away, Chitara as well. I'd say maybe the one characters who haven't had a big spotlight or the twins, but like, it's hard, there's a lot of moving parts, so you're trying to establish characters and their, you know, how they relate to each other, and then, like, you know Mumra can't show up every issue, so you got to build up other villains, exactly, and, you know, so stuff like that. So I guess, yeah, it was a great problem to have, and now we're in this weird place where, I just wrote issue 21 where Lino comes back because he hasn't been in the book for a while, and, like,
yeah.
Again, you can't. If it was five issues, you couldn't do that. You know, no. What I really like about Thundercats is I'm having the benefit. Like, if I was at Marvel, if I was doing a new book of Marvel now, I don't know if it'd make 10 issues. But right. I'm on issue 20 something of Thundercats, so there's not a lot of books where you can seed stories and ideas and then, like, let them kind of bounce around for a while, mm-hmm, and then come back to them later. And then, you know, like, Panthro issue 5 was this, was Mad Max. It was a Mad Max issue of Panthro in the Thunder Tank. Like,
yes.
That can't be issue... Sorry, it was issue 6, I think. That can't be issue 4 of a 5-issue miniseries, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I've been writing the word over-continuitization down for the last 5 minutes. So I haven't been paying much attention.
Voluminous word.
It's a voluminous word, exactly. But we do have a question to fill the gap. It came from the radio. Thundercats versus Terminator, who would win?
Ooh.
Not that we would.
I think
ever
the Thundercats would. Yeah, the Thundercats would. Like, yeah, Lino with the Sword of Omens.
Sure.
I mean, he might take out a couple of Thundercats on the way. I'm looking at you, Snarf.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Snarf goes down.
No, I know that was the one thing I hated. I hated rewatching the character. I hated Snarf. I'm like,
yes,
I'm
Snarf.
No,
Snarf.
Yeah. No, I made it, and now I actually love him because, like, Drew did this so cute design. Now, whenever he's in a panel, I'm like, oh, look at him.
Snarf.
But yeah, exactly. But I think maybe a couple of Thundercats would not survive, but Lino with the Sword of Omens would just strong cut right through him.
Yeah.
Great. Well, before we wrap up with you and let you get on your way, anything else you have coming out? Any creator owned? Any old dog coming our way? What's going on over there?
I've just been too busy, man. Thank you for asking. I have an old dog story to write, but I'm writing Thundercats and Terminator, co-writing Terminator. Now I'm doing covers, and I have a secret project I'm writing at the moment. I'm just up the walls at work, which is a great problem to have. I would say I'm getting very frustrated not having anything creator owned out, like especially like someone like, you know, any of the guys who've done Terminator. I'm like, I could do a book with him.
Yeah.
It's just I just don't have the time. I'm getting very frustrated because the last creator owned thing was the Old Dog Anthology. That was last year.
Yeah.
So I have two or three ideas I'm playing around with, but finding the time to work on them is one thing, but then finding the time to draw them is a whole other thing too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're double booked always, anytime you have something like that.
Like, it's a weird thing this year. I've done a short story for Wes Craig's Kaya book.
Oh, yeah.
And like a 2-page short for like the X-Men Vigil, Hellfire Vigil thing. Those are the only sequential pages I've done this year. It's all been covers and scripts.
So then how slight of artistic work is that of actually like drawing compared to any other year in your career?
It's still a lot. I did like 10 covers last month. So,
it's not that. Yeah.
I mean, we'll put it this way. It's things are more flexible because you can do a cover. You can do maybe 2 covers or maybe 3 in a week and move your deadline around, and you can be writing a script. When you're doing sequential pages, you need to be doing 5 a week. You don't have any kind of wiggle room. So it's been an interesting year for the flexibility of it. And you know, I'm telling stories still because I'm writing, but I'm going antsy, man. I need to dig my teeth.
Get those itchy fingers.
Oh, big time. The covers are fine and it keeps you going, but then you don't have any like looking for something chunky, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't have a primary project at the moment, but something's coming up hopefully that I'll be digging into that. But thanks for asking creator, man, because I'm always posting the creator on stuff, but I guess I wasn't expecting all this work for hire writing to come along. So, you know, maybe by the time another creator owned thing comes out, people will be like, oh, I know this writer.
Yeah, that's right.
Who draws this
success. Nice problem. I think you already have that nice problem. So you should enjoy that. And we can call next year the year we get chunky.
Yeah.
The year we all really get chunky.
Yeah, like it's what's it? The 30 Rock joke. It's only 3 inches, but it's thick. It's chunky, you know?
Chunky. Awesome, Declan. It's so great to catch up with you. Your work.
Yeah, keep up the great work. Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
I appreciate it. And for what it's worth, thanks for like keep reviewing the books too. Like I know it's very easy to just like fall off after issue 3, but it's cool you guys really stick with books. I appreciate it.
We love them. Man. It's great. And now go ahead and get out of here and go play with your starships in your cabinet. There we go. See? Yeah, I knew it. Bye, Declan. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Right, see you guys.
Later. Declan Shalvey, he already said the million things he's doing, but definitely check out Terminator Metal, which is coming soon, and all the other stuff, including the old dog stuff that is from the past. And so here we are. It's time for another section. And what section is that? It's our favorite section because y'all make it up. It is your audience questions.
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
And for audience questions, all you have to do is post the question in our little chat and we will then ask it. I guess I will ask it to Pete and then he in turn will ask me because there's only 2 hosts to this show. And that's the way we do it. Mm-hmm. Pete, what you drinking out there?
You know, it was daytime outside, so I was drinking a little daytime Lagunitas.
Lagunitas. I like the way you pronounce that. Really good. I'm having a 6-point Brooklyn Sunny. I'm getting sunny out
here. See, yeah, do it with Sunny. Come on.
Yeah, let's do it. We're sunny. We're sunny, guys.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So ask your questions in there, because otherwise Pete and I have to catch up about our personal lives.
Our lives? Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Really dangerous in a lot of ways. But we do have a question from Schweikler. What's a crossover you want to see? Emphasis on you.
Huh.
So this is like, you know, crossover, two different properties, I think, mm-hmm. is what the question mm-hmm. is here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, get weird with it as well.
All right. Well, I would say maybe Captain Bucky O'Hare and Thundercats. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yes. Captain mm-hmm. Bucky. It's hard to cross over with something that no one knows exists but you and I, basically.
Oh, come on, dude. There's a lot of people out there who are into croaking toads, bro.
Anybody out there who can, without Googling, tell us one fact about Bucky O'Hare in the comments, please do, because maybe Schuykler is all I can say. Let's croak us some toads. But I was thinking about this in relation to the X universe. Mm. We have coming up Age of Revelation, which is launching quite soon. Something that I think is more like a crossover in the Age of Apocalypse vein. But I think what we really need in the X universe is an Executioner's Song style crossover that Ooh. Takes the continuity freaks that we all are and hammers it down into one idea, brings everybody in on it, and does something like super high drama storytelling. So that's a crossover that I want to see, bringing in all these characters far and wide. That would be very cool to me.
That does
Pete,
sound
no,
cool.
No response, Hannibal?
Yeah, I just think that would be pretty awesome. You just kind of blew my mind with that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Or how about let's crossover the A-Team and our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Come on, man. That would be fun. That would just be a blast. It looks like we got a question here.
Hey, yes. David. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, really nice. Yeah. We do have some other questions. Let's see. From Ken and Melissa LG, what comic started you guys, started us collecting comics? What issue or what happened in it?
Ooh. Well, first let's say hi to Ken and Melissa. You know what
yes,
I mean?
I know. Stay together. LG, obviously, the smartphone technology.
Oh, I thought it was maybe just like life is good, and they were just letting us know that they're pretty solid.
That's nice. So keep your eye on those initials to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, exactly.
Pete, what gets you into the game?
Well, it was the spinner rack at Wegmans. It could have been Tops. Because I would.
These are both grocery stores in upstate New York. For those,
yeah. So I would go and help my mom carry groceries, and push the cart and stuff like that. And if I was good, and that's a big if.
I could see it being a problem with.
Yeah, I would get to
get that celery.
Oh, the worst is when you would hit. Hit mom in the back of the shoe with the cart. Oh, dude, yeah. She would lose it.
She was
man.
Like, now you're not getting a double size. Yeah, now you're not getting an annual. It's down to one pamphlet.
It was Captain America. The first comic I ever saw was Captain America, and he had like an Uzi on the cover. And ooh. I was like, wow, this seems really over the top for this guy.
Not known as a big Uzi user.
Yeah.
Cap.
But then when I... kind of read that comic was I would like to read more of these comics, and then found out that there was a comic book shop near me. I went to the comic book shop and the guy brushed me off because I was a little kid, and so I went
what age is this?
Wandered around the stacks. I don't know, eight, seven,
eight,
something wow. like that. I wandered around the stacks and then found Teenage Mutant Eastman and Laird's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah. And that I was hooked, bro.
And thus a maniac
that was
is
it.
Born.
Yeah, exactly.
The first comic I had was, the Archie Double Digest, also at the checkout at the grocery store. Grab one of those. I would read that for months. I would just read and reread those. But then the first was an Atlantis Attacks issue of The Avengers from back in, I don't know when that was, late 80s, early 90s. That really got me going. And then I think the X-Men, I had a reprint of the X-Men, the Claremont X-Men that had Black Widow, Cap, and Wolverine teaming up. Ooh. And I could even tell that was like wildly awesome, even though I didn't really know much about them.
Yeah.
It came from the radio, a recent guest. Pete is a Thundercats fan. Have you ever interviewed any voice actors?
I have not Thundercats voice actors, but yeah, I would love to. We've interviewed some voice actors over the years. JT Sizzle himself is a voice actor,
yes.
Classically trained. And But yeah, you know, I guess the most famous voice actor we got to interview is Kevin Conroy. Rest in peace.
Yes, one of the greats. Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, as yeah, we all know.
That was a real fun interview.
Very good. Well, that's a good. Maybe that's a good goal. Maybe that's a good goal. Are you guys going to be at New York Comic Con? What are you looking forward to? Pete?
Are we going to be at the New York Comic Con? I'm sure the Zalbatron is going to be there.
You know? Yes, I'm planning on being there for a couple days at least. Maybe we'll try to lure Pete up. I'm looking forward to being there, and I've been working. I think I've said this sort of a little bit here and there. I've been working on a comic, and I've been having I have an artist who's drawing it, and it's planned to be done at New York Comic Con.
Oh,
so I'm going to have it there.
This is going to be a big Comic Con for you, bro.
Yes, I'm going to have it there digitally at the very least. So I look forward to showing that to people. If you see me there, I will show it to you. So please,
you better bring floppies to hand out, dude. I want to hold one.
Yeah, that's the hard part, is going from it being made to it being on paper.
Yep.
So that's maybe not going to be happening. But digitally, yes. Yes, indeed. From Straight Bullet, now that Alex is gone forever, what's some comics he made you review that you were like, not this fucking book again? Honestly, I go the opposite way. Lately, and like for those of you who don't know, Alex is... works
the curator.
He curates the stack. He pulls the books. I mean, not that, you know, we sort of talk about all the books going into the stack a bit, but he's definitely the one sort of pulling and pushing. But I actually think he's been moving off books a little bit faster than I want. And I'm like, ooh, hey, what happened to this one? And honestly, you know, we could just be like, hey, let's put this back on, and he certainly would. But
I would say. I feel like this would be a lot. I didn't mean to cut you off if there was a finish to that story.
No.
I feel like if we didn't have pushback against him, he would be having these weird, like, creepy ass, like, super sexualized, weird books in there. You know what I mean? So over the years, we slowly had to be like, hey, man, you know, some of the stuff you're into isn't as, like, you know, much fun to talk about. But, you know, so, like, I think we've worn him down or a little bit. He's been like, okay, maybe I'll back up on that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So I feel like he's found a sweet spot over the years.
I like when he gets one of his little books in there. It's really nice.
Not so much.
You don't.
If I can't read it on the train, you know, if it's something I can't be proud of, you know, I don't, you know what I mean?
No, just read on the train and be like a weirdo for like 7 minutes. From Straight Bullet, what's your go-to Wegmans purchase specific to Wegmans? Great question.
Oh, well, it depends on which Wegmans this is, where I am, what's going on. I mean, the sub shop at Wegmans is legit.
Yeah. Legit. So, chicken wing pizza, you got to get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Some that. Great
That's
pizza.
Very good.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Their salt and vinegar chips are pretty addicting, I find.
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoy those. You know, I got to get that Nance's mustard, that sweet and hot Nance's. Yeah, that's my fave mustard.
I mean, what's great about Nance's is they have country sweet barbecue sauce. They also have boss sauce there, which is great. Their kind of like Speedy's chicken, their white chicken sauce is great.
Speedy chicken. And number one in summer season just ending, the Snappy Grillers. Your white hot dogs. We called them conies when I grew up, but that's those are good things to
have. The white hots. Oh man, it's a lot of great food. I mean, they do some great stuff. Also, they do some good meal prep.
Because their Wegmans by you, Pete? In whatever town, nondescript town that you live in, is there?
Well, when I visit my brother in Baltimore, there's a Wegmans there.
So you're not getting Wegmans on the reg?
I do my Wegman shopping, I gotta go and like freeze a lot of meat and stuff, you know what I mean?
Oh, really good. They say it tastes better after it's been in your freezer for 6 to 8 months. Great question.
Dude, it doesn't last that long, bro.
Sure. Frederico Rosa, are you guys watching the Alien TV show? I am. The finale is on tonight. I've been liking it mostly. The bummer is it was so good I thought the first, I don't know, 4 into 5 episodes were great, really exciting. We had a couple dips here where some of the weight of the implausibility of some things that have been happening are a little bit like, there's a scene where two characters are like struggling to get to another location carrying something, and suddenly just cuts them and they have a Legend of Zelda Link style raft that they found somehow, and they're just floating on it. I was like, this what? Is not, how did this get through the execs, the creatives in charge? So there's some of the little things like that, but overall I'm really enjoying it. I like it's pushing the Alien continuity. I'm a fan.
All right.
Definitely. Let's see. Nat Towson, how do you keep track of all the series that you're following? Do you have a spreadsheet? Hell no. I keep them all in my brain, and only occasionally am I like, wait, which one is this? But there's something about, even as we are lightly aging, the comic continuity part of my brain is strong. It's thriving.
Oh, yeah?
I think
so. Stay sharp. It has to. I mean, we're talking comics every week, so you're flexing that muscle every week.
Definitely. Stay strong. And, like, no joke, I do think there is – that's the kind of thing that does keep you fresh. Like, it is a lot of story to hold in your brain, and that's a nice – like, that – the type of thinking is what keeps you sharp with every other aspect of your life. I feel.
Speaking of like staying sharp, it's been a minute since you've gone on like a nice like continuity rant. You know, you used to go on those like almost every week.
Well, here's the thing with that though. That's a little bit of a symptom of the fact that our stack used to be 3 comics when the live show. And then it was like 10. Yeah. And now that it's like 40 a week, it is harder to know that level of continuity to say really fast.
Yeah.
So I miss
those rants, man.
I'll find a way into one. Yeah. I'll get one cooking up.
Light me up, dude. That's great. Great comedy.
Let's see what we have. Like, we have, I think, 2 more here. From Stanley, what are comics' best format, single issues, collectors, trade, or digital?
Stanley, I'm going to say single issue, and I'll tell you why. I love holding a comic. I love reading a comic. It's easier
kissing
to get
a comic.
It's easier
down
to get
in comic,
sucked into
flirting.
This world when you're just kind of, when it's on the screen, it just feels a little bit too far away for me.
Taking
to get
a comic home to meet the parents.
And the trades are great, but I feel like sometimes the what's going to happen moment is nice. Like the walking away from a world, thinking about it, having it, like just before you go to sleep, being like, is Wolverine going to be able to get out of this? Like those are fun thoughts.
Right before you go to sleep. Settling down with a comic, deciding to have.
Get a house together, you know.
Get a house and have a couple mini comics of your own, you know? It's beautiful.
I mean, the trades for some things would be great. You know what I mean? I feel like there are certain authors that are like writing these dense things, you know, like I feel like Undiscovered Countries is such an unbelievable like comic. I can't wait for that to be collected in the trade so I can read it all at kind of once, you know, just because sometimes between stuff when it comes out, you kind of forget. You're like, oh, wait, because it goes through different kind of things. But other than that, I'm saying single issue all day, every day.
And here's the thing. Here's the confession. We mostly just read digital now, so it's hard to even remember what it was like to hold a little bit of papes. Ken and Melissa LG, how do you decide which room to film from? Whichever room my family's not in is the answer. My basement got loud because the downstairs neighbors had kids that are loud. So now I'm hiding in this little corner. And all summer long, I'm literally running into a closet in whatever weird place that we are. Of course.
It's fun. It's a fun slice of life.
Completely unrelated to what we've been talking about, question also from Nat. Justin, can you explain the Hellfire Vigil and how we got there? Yes, of course. It's simple. It makes perfect sense. Because you might be thinking Hellfire Vigil. No, you mean the Hellfire Gala. No, the Hellfire Vigil is the expression of the Hellfire Gala after the From the Ashes crossover took over from Krakoa. Krakoa, that was a big area where all of the X-Men got together under the tutelage of Professor X, who was like sort of menacing but sort of not in his big lollipop head. He got together, brought all the villains and heroes together. Everyone got to sit at the council, the quiet council. They decided what was going to happen with everybody. But it got all fucked up. There was X of Swords, got into a magic mysticism. Then it got broken out into a lot, much larger thing. Cable seemed important, but then he wasn't. Things moved into a bunch of crazy places. Then it sort of ended in a little bit of place that we weren't super excited about. Things started to spin out in different directions. The Hillfire Vigil, of course, is a place where we come together to talk and remember the Krakoa of the past, because that's what everyone's dealing with from the Ashes crossover. But we're about to move into the Age of Revelation, where we're going to move into a whole different places, moving into the future. The future, where we're going to find out what happens and what's going on in today's continuity in the future, because it's sort of Age of Apocalypse, but it's a little bit different. But when you talk about Hellfire, you got to get back to the Hellfire Club, which, of course, the Hellfire Club was the thing with White Queen. Oh, now you're getting bored, Pete? You're getting bored by doing this? You don't like when I do this, but you do like it when I do it. And that's basically what the vision is.
Yay! Nice job. Oh, my God. How do you feel, man? How do you feel? Lightheaded?
No, I feel great. Honestly, it feels... And when he put that, I was like, the Hellfire Vigil, I don't quite know what that is. But then I started talking, and I did know.
Yeah, I did know. Yeah,
people keep asking questions. Cable seemed important, but he wasn't. It's true. It is true. Now I think the single issue is the best reading experience. Bravo, shouts. You guys are loving. Love the love. Let's kick it back to Pete. Now I can't stop talking quickly. whoops. That was Pete. What's Pete's favorite Ted Lasso episode? And you can only pick one. Our final question.
Man, that's tough. The one that I watched the most, I think, is it's got to be first season. It's the one where they do the interview and it kind of starts off this thing about, like, how Ted Lasso as a character slowly grows on you, and it's all these like little actions kind of leading to big things. You know, how like if you do something nice for somebody, that can snowball, and next thing you know, you have a good culture around you. So that's my favorite. The Trent Crim interview episode is my favorite.
Wow, a man of comedy who was talking about a comedy that he loves, and he talks about the exclusively mostly heartfelt like continuity episode.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There's some funny, I mean, the Allen Iverson episode where they just basically quote that whole practice.
Yeah.
You want to talk about practice? It was hysterical.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying you should have a comedy. Like, I'm not. I think it's interesting that you love this show. Just like not even about the comedy. It's about that for you. It's about the story. It's about the characters. It's about the vibe.
Yeah, I think it's about people learning about each other, and it's also about people trying to be the best versions of themselves and the journeys that everybody's on for that. You know, and how like certain people are more evolved than others or in a better place or whatever it is, and, you know, kind of runs into people on different paths and the kind of problems that that causes and all that kind of stuff. It's there's more to it than soccer and comedy, so, yeah.
Yes, that's true. I've been meaning to check that show out. It seems interesting. Two
You've
last things.
You've never watched?
You no, start, I've watched, yeah, I've watched all on, of it, and I don't want to get into it because I was like, this last season is sort of not great. Later. Frederica Rosa asks, how's the hype for Marvel Zombies? Well, you can find out because we are going to be reviewing the first four episodes, of Marvel Zombies, as they come out very soon, because they're coming out also tonight, I think.
Really?
Get ready for that. Yes, I believe so. So that will be fun. And last thing, or maybe maybe tomorrow is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Or maybe they come out Wednesday. Maybe we're reviewing them Thursday. Yeah. So look for that later this week, either way. And shout out to Jimmy Kimmel coming back to the air tonight. Definitely check that out.
Oh, look at you, dude. Look at you.
If you like, well, Short Clothes, like, do you have any plugs? And I was like, I don't need to plug myself per se, but let's shout out. I don't want to get into the politics of it too much, but man, it's good to have him back on the air. I'm very curious how this show's going to go down. I've been awake for almost 16 hours today. No. 20 hours today. So if I stay up till midnight, I'm going to be really fucked up.
Wow. Just cracked from out Justin. Sleep. I love it, dude.
No,
wow.
Truly. Not just very long.
Really into a Rosh Hashanah, huh? Just like really pumped that it's
I
here.
I want to soak up every bit of that Rosh. Yeah. I call it the Rosh. I'm rashing for Rosh. Move on to, I've hit the part where I can't stop talking. Let's move on to another section where Pete talks, which is called trivia.
Yeah, that's right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely listener, the people who are watching, the people who are listening. We appreciate you. And we'd like you to volunteer Raise your hand, be first hand up person, or just say me in the comments, and you will win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online. Because as Elvin corrected, they haven't sponsored the show, but we buy a gift card and then you get free comics. So
come
on.
Pretty cool.
And before that, for years, they did sponsor us. So, you know, we're still supporting them. They used to support us. Who knows how it works, but we're just trying to do our best in this world. And we just need you to volunteer, and then
just say me in the comments, and you can do trivia. It's the easiest thing you'll ever do. Brooklyn, the entire borough.
Where Brooklyn
has,
at? Where
has
Brooklyn
said
at?
They're ready to do trivia. No, it's Brooklyn, the child fan of
That's
Comic
right.
Book Club, our official
a,
Comic Book Club child.
He's a great chef over there at Shift. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, Brooklyn's not technically a chef, I don't think.
Well, Stray, he works at the kitchen. He's a
correct
hell of
us
a,
if you're wrong. Do you call him a chef, a sous, some sort of taster?
Maitre d'. Yes. You know, he was a big part of it. Is all I'm saying. He's
yeah,
a big
I'm not knocking
of
his role. I was just trying yeah. to define it. Okay. So, Pete, this is the part where you talk.
Okay, great. Today's trivia is about the DC Comics World War V event and a small nod to the legend Ronnie Rondell Jr. R.I.P. to the stuntman, the actor, and the crew member. Now, since Zelbs wow. is not here, please listen to all four options before making your selection. That's right. The phone assist option is back.
Great.
In character, JT Sizz will help you pick an answer. Also, second bonus, since Zelbs isn't here, I'll explain the second option bit ahead of time so you can enjoy it as I go. The bit is, it's a guy conducting job interviews stressed out because he can't tell if anyone is reliable.
That's
Are we ready?
I'm playing. That's a character I'm playing.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Is that what it is?
No. It's just a bit that I have in all the B answers.
Oh, I see. Wow, you have a lot going on.
Sure do, buddy. Sure do. Yeah, here we go, Brooklyn. I hope you're ready because question number one is coming. Question number one. On which Earth does DC's World War V take place? Is it A, Earth 63? B, what I want to know is, will Mike listen? C, Mike Reed? Or D, phone assist?
Yeah, I love, now you're theming the C answers.
That's
you're
right.
theming the B answers. You've eliminated the quiz completely. Now it's just confusing to follow exactly what the action is.
Yeah, isn't that fun? We've gone down the rabbit hole too deep. Too
we're
deep.
Not
yes.
even. This isn't a rabbit anymore. Straight Bullet says A.
A is correct.
Correct.
Here we go. Oh, man, a little disappointed. Didn't phone assist there. But here we got question number two. Who is one of the writers on this amazing comic book series? Is it A, Berge, Matthew Rosenberg? B, what I want to know is, if I give Helen some water, will she be hardworking? C, Helen Thurston? Or D, phone assist?
Yeah. What was the question again?
It was, I don't even know. I got to go back.
You delete them immediately?
Yeah, immediately.
Straight Bullet's going with
Who's the writer? Who's the writer? Yes, it is Berge, Matthew Rosenberg, who's doing an amazing job. I really love the series. I don't know if you can tell. But yes. I'm a huge fan. Okay, man, not a phone. Last chance for phone assist here, Brooklyn. Here we go. Question number three. In World War V, it is a three-way conflict between humans, vampires, and blank. Is it A, Darkseid? B, what I want to know is, when Jerry is done with his nice vacation, if he works winters, falls, and some spring. C, Jerry Summers. Or D, phone assist.
A lot of great options there.
Yeah.
A lot of great options there. How long does it take for you to do this? To really put this together?
That really, do you have
like
depends
a, now
on
I'm
the
imagining you having a murder board.
yeah.
Where are you going through? Where Triple says A
is correct. Oh my God, Brooklyn. Congratulations. You're going to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, why not go to a comic book shop? You know what I mean? Come on.
Yes.
Support
it's
the cause.
It's a great place to be. Please email us at comic book live at, or comic book club live at gmail.com, and we will get you that gift card ASAP. I'm going to go ahead and turn that music off. Yeah. But folks, you know what time it is? It's first off, the end of the show. But before we do that, we have
a couple things.
But we have to talk about what's coming out next week, because tomorrow
Before we get to that, I just wanted to finish up my last bit there. And in case people are wondering for the C answers, we're talking about the 1960 classic Spartacus.
Spartacus. Wow. Mm-hmm. Frederica Rosa, Robert Redford, going to have to wait till 2027.
Robert Redford was last week.
We covered Redford. Special position jumped him to the front of the line. Yeah, Straight right. Bullet Brooklyn says, yes, I can do it again and again. He really said that. He's seven. Wow. That's great. Yeah, they grow up so fast, just like us, and just like our stacks on New Comic Book Day, which is tomorrow.
We don't have a sponsor. We don't have to do the drawer. Oh, sorry. Nope.
But we do have comics to look forward to tomorrow. Pete, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I don't know if you could tell by my hint, but
I'm very
much looking forward to Absolute Wonder Woman number 12. I mean, this comic kicks absolute fucking ass. It's worth it for the art alone. It's worth it for the action alone. It's worth it for the writing alone. I mean, I can't believe how great this comic is. You got to be reading this shit. Also, The Thing, number 5. You know, speak of losing my fleece in mind, Tony Fleece is absolutely kicking ass on this. I'm so pumped for this next issue. He's a hell of a writer. And then last but definitely not least, DC versus Vampires, World War V, number 12. Come on, Bergie. I mean, this has been epic as shit and so much fun. So I can't wait to read this.
Yes, a lot of good stuff there. I'm looking forward to Lazarus Fallen number 4 from Image Comics by Greg Rucka and Michael Lark. Ongoing comics set in a near future where corporations run everything. Everyone's lives are much, much worse. We're following some characters that are rebelling against that, including including Forever Carlyle and her sister and a bunch of other characters. Very fun book. I'm going to go to bat for The Last Starship number 1 from IDW. This is a Star Trek book, but this is by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing. Really like their work in this universe. This is set in the far future of the Federation universe, an area I know nothing about, concerning a little thing called the Burn. So very curious to see what that's about. It piqued my interest when we were talking to the editor a couple months back, and I gotta go up for Storm number 12. This comic is one of my faves. Always excited to see it in the stack. So I'm definitely going to pick that up. And folks, go buy those comics and whichever ones you also like, because that is the show.
Hey, we did it!
Very fun show. You can check us out. Check us out at our website, comicbookclub.com. comicbookclublive.com. We've got our other podcasts like Comic Book Club News, Sons of a Gun. Let's Hear It for the Boys. We're covering Gen V here pretty soon.
Man.
We're hitting a Peacemaker on Son of a Gun right now. There's so much going on there. You can subscribe to us on all the places that you do, Apple, Android, Spotify, the app of your choice. Check us out on Blue Sky, TikTok, Threads.
Sometimes Kick,
never again Kick. Next week on the show, we have a sci-fi roundtable discussion with Matt Arnold from Outer Lands and Eden, Taki Soma from Alienated, and Mark Guggenheim, the Googs, from The Adventures of Ulysses Monarch. It's going to be very fun. In the meantime, folks, gotta say good night. We'll see you next time here on Comic Book Club.
Take care of yourself out there. We need you.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy your money, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Let's do another one. Come on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.